from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is the Craig Needles podcast, and yes, it is the Friday Roundtable, our post-election Friday Roundtable. And I thought, you know what? Who better to get on a post-election Friday Roundtable than people who ran and successfully won elections on Monday? And we are joined here in studio by, well, I guess there's one councillor elect and two councillors. So we are joined by Councillor Sean Lewis, Councillor Elizabeth Pelosa, and Councillor elect Skylar Frank. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, great to be back.
Yeah. So I had to take you out of the rotation a little bit there, Sean. As soon as there was someone on the ballot against you, all of a sudden I couldn't have you on the show anymore. Well, but now you're back.
The good news now is you got like 3.5 years till the next campaign starts.
So there you go.
You can book me whenever.
Lots of time. We'll get you and Cheryl back in here soon. Let's talk about the aforementioned campaign. And here's the thing with the campaign, and I want to ask each of you about this. A lot of people looked at the result and said, okay, yeah, we've got a new council, great, but what's the deal with the 25% voter turnout? Skylar, I'll ask you first. I don't think it would have surprised you because you were knocking on doors in the whole campaign, as all three of you were, but 25%, were you surprised by that number as we saw it got finalized on election night?
I mean, I wasn't overwhelmingly surprised because we had been hearing that it was going to be low voter turnout. And when I was canvassing, there were quite a few people who said, like, I'm not planning on voting or I'm still undecided. Like, it was not a lot of confirmation, I would say, at the door. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting it to be low. It was lower than I personally expected. I was hopeful and thinking maybe it'd be 36%. And I can see that was too ambitious. But yeah, definitely, I think that with COVID, 3 elections in 13 months and maybe just general fatigue, people didn't show up.
Yeah, they weren't super, super jazzed about it. Elizabeth, what was your experience?
Yeah, some people at the doors, similar to Skylar's comments, but this misnomer that municipal politics isn't sexy.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I hit doors and they were saying, you know, oh, I just do, you know, federal or provincial. And I said, you know, municipally, I said, London offers 100 services for you. And they're like, what do you do for me? I'm like, roads, garbage collection, library, parks, trails, sidewalks, cycling infrastructure. I said, the moment you turn on a light, you use water, or you leave your home, like, those are all city-provided things we do for you that has the biggest impact on your daily life. And some residents, when you had that time and took that time, they, you know, some of them said, you know, I'm sorry, I was ignorant. And I said, no, part of that's on us and how we do engagement at the doors. And just, you know, it starts in civic class in grade 6 of who does what for you. And, you know, they're certainly welcome to complain and raise concerns about whatever they want to us, but definitely ones in our jurisdiction are helpful.
Yeah, I would agree with Elizabeth, and I think municipal politics is sexy. I mean, we do
Absolutely. Lots
of fun stuff,
and
you know, I mean, Elizabeth and I went to the Junos. That was pretty fun.
We've been each other's date for a bunch of things.
Yeah,
the Grand, and
there's all kinds of fun things that we do as a municipal council, but there's lots of important work we do too. But most of it does fly under people's radar. They're just not aware of it. Obviously, in a municipal campaign, because there's no party systems, thank goodness, there is also not sort of the big air war on radio and television where people are being exposed to party platforms, party leaders. It's individuals who have to go out and have individual conversations with neighbors. I know in my ward, you know, one of the things that I was fighting against was the, well, you're going to win anyway. And Josh is going to win anyway. And, you know, and I even heard it about Elizabeth because I have a couple hockey families who are in Ward 12. Well, Elizabeth's going to win anyway. She's done a great job. So we were also fighting in some cases that voter fatigue of 3 elections in the last year, and looking at their incumbents and saying, you guys have done a great job. You're going to win. We don't need to show up on election day. And I was constantly saying to people, yes, you do, because I can't win unless you put your vote in the ballot box for me.
Remember that episode of Simpsons where Bart was running for class president and only 2 Martin votes showed up? I want to remind people of that episode.
Yeah, the engagement still matters. People still have to, at the end of the day, go and put the ballot in the box. And even if you're disengaged from the system, you don't think your vote matters, if you are leaving, you know, at the end of the day, the decisions are made by people who show up.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing, but I think that there are some things that we can do in the future. You know, even in terms of where polling locations are, how many advanced poll days we have, what the signage looks like. I don't know what Skylar and Elizabeth's experience was like, but the polling stations in my ward had tiny little vote yep. signs that were almost impossible to see. If you did not know where you were going to vote, you would miss it completely.
Or the voting location close to your house isn't necessarily the one that you're voting at. You drive by a couple to get to, yeah. to your designated poll.
Great example. I live across the road from East Lions Community Center. There was a polling station at East Lions Community Center. I wasn't voting there, even though it was literally right across the street from me. I had to walk two blocks the other direction to vote at an elementary school. And I think one of the things that I want to see change in the next cycle is I'd like voters to at least be able to vote at any polling station in their ward. There's no reason that we need to have paper lists and rulers anymore to cross people's names off voters' lists. Let's equip the polling stations with iPads and electronic copies and let voters vote like they can in advance polls at any station that they can get to that day.
Did you still make the walk to go vote for yourself?
I did, yes.
Okay, good.
I even took a couple friends with me.
So you weren't one of the 75%. That's good to know. You know, Skylar, I went to go take a picture of you when you went and cast your ballot at the Landon Library. Mm-hmm. And there was a tiny little, because I thought, okay, I'll go take a picture of Skylar casting her vote and put that on the web for our election story. And I'll take a picture of an election sign, too, because we'll have that for the future. And I look around, I'm like, there's nothing here other than a kind of tiny yellow yeah. little sign.
Yeah, like at foot level, kind of, yeah, or even yeah. like eye level.
If you were driving by, you would never have known there was a polling station there.
No.
Yeah.
So when you got inside, there was a little sign that said elections downstairs.
Oh,
so
okay.
Once you got in there, you got directed.
Good.
Yeah.
But if you were just, you know, going by, you would not have seen that, which is suboptimal. So yeah, I think that's something we could work on for next time. Again, yeah. That's not going to make voter turnout go up by 10%, but it's going to make it go up a little bit if people, if it's more accessible to people, you would think, right?
Yeah. I think too, people really want to be inspired these days about politics. And I think sometimes we do inspire folks to get out there, but I think a lot of time, you know, we've seen, again, over the last 4 years, a lot of division in politics, mostly party politics and politics in the states. But I think people want to be engaged, inspired. They want to get excited. They want to see progress on different projects. So I think there's a bit of an inspiration, sparkly work to do.
Well, and how do we engage people who aren't engaged? We have our supporters who like us. We have those who come out and tell us their differing opinion of what we're doing wrong. But this was a first election campaign. I had money come in that I wasn't anticipating. And I rented a fry truck for the day and just offered free fries to the community. And certainly some members in ward and not, like, just stopped because there was a fry truck and it was a beautiful day. Like, and it was those different conversations, and most of those people weren't considering voting. They were just like, yeah, I hadn't considered it. I'm like, well, while you're here, like, this is what the city does for you, and just uses an education piece. And it just really turned some people, and their kids were with them. They're just like, oh, this is different. Like, just having different conversations in different spaces and realizing those who have kids, it's hard to come to a ward meeting and keep your kids quiet for 2 hours, or paying for a sitter is a economic barrier to coming out as well. But, mm-hmm. you know, the kids were eating fries. They were generally quiet and a little bit messy by the end of it. But we had great conversations that day.
I wish I had known ahead of time, by the way. I only saw the pictures after. But that was very strategic on your part
not
let me know ahead of time.
It was an anti-Sean Fry truck event. but it was like also not knowing, are people going to come out? Are they going to come out in droves? Or am I going to be stuck eating a lot of fries myself for dinner for the next few weeks?
Well, and when Skylar talks about engaging, like, you know, showing progress on things and showing results, I think that there's a really key thing, and I hope that as we move forward as a council, but also I think our MPs and MPPs need to be more upfront with people about this too, is, and this was really at the core of my campaign, and I said it even in my literature, I'm not making grandiose promises I know I can't keep. I'm making commitments that I know if I put in the work, we can at least make progress on, if not check off as mission accomplished. But we see it in federal elections, in provincial elections. In 10 years, we're going to have this. In 20 years, this will happen. Nobody's thinking 20 years ahead in terms of what a political party is going to deliver in a four-year term of government mm-hmm. or at City Hall in a four-year term at City Hall. I think we all need to, if we're going to engage people, and I heard this a lot in positive feedback for myself, you did what you promised you were going to do. And I think that's where we need to be more upfront with people about what we can actually accomplish versus, you know, big blue sky whiteboard dreams, which are important to have for vision. But in terms of what we can deliver in 4 years, I think we need to, at all levels, we need elected representatives to be more frank with people about what we can accomplish.
Versus what they want to hear.
I think, so working in the environmental sector, we've always kind of been told in the, like, the provincial and federal mostly that like these things take time and it'll take a while. And I appreciate the expectation management, but I think a great example sometimes of like a big leap is with COVID. We saw, you know, government shut down everything. People were on CERB like almost right away. Like there was a lot of solutions that came out instantly. And I think that to me, where we can do stuff big, fast, and like, you know, splashy, let's do it. And then, yeah, to your point, Sean, I think obviously expectation management for some people, because they think, why isn't this solved, you know, in 2 months? You're like, well, this is going to take 5-10 years to do. So,
yeah. And it's kind of a delicate balance there too, because you don't want to say, hey, let's promise something 10 years from now, because who knows who's going to be in government 10 years from now, the world could change in 10 years. But at the same time, there was a mayoral candidate promising, you know, huge amounts of affordable housing units within months, which also can't be done. So there's it's a balance of, okay, we've got to do something soon, but at the same time, you can't promise something too soon, because then it makes it sound not realistic and not reasonable, right?
If we could procure a magic machine that would roll down the street popping out a housing, we would have ordered one already.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist, and these things do take time. And I think it's that conversation with people, and Skylar hit on it. It's expectation management and letting them see progress. They don't have to see it completed in 4 years, but they need to see the needle moving in the right direction. And I think about how many times we were promised, you know, a national daycare program, how many times we've been promised a national pharmacare program, all of those kind of things at the federal level.
Electoral reform,
which we actually got briefly at the municipal level and then had taken away. But I think that those sort of broken promises over and over and over again have really caused people to tune out and say, I don't believe what any of you are saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the electoral reform one really bugs me. And I know that some people say, well, London never voted in ranked balloting, which that's a whole nother discussion for the day. I'm a big fan of ranked balloting. You know who did vote in ranked balloting? Kingston and Cambridge. And they were also told they couldn't have it. Seems dumb, but hey, I'm not in charge, clearly. I want to talk about what you mentioned. They want to see progress on the key issues. I want to talk about what those key issues are. But quickly, I do want to remind folks that the Craig Needles podcast is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at the award-winning Lexus of London. Luxury defined. You can find them at 1065 Warncliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com. Progress on the key issues. What were the key issues when you were knocking on someone's door and they had a concern about something going on in the city of London? They wanted to see something changed. Elizabeth, what did they tell you?
Traffic, congestion, and proper management, safe communities, affordable housing, homelessness issues, and realizing people have really come to love their green space over COVID, of wishing the city did a better job of upkeeping parks, maintain them, and newer equipment that suits the changing needs of the community, whether it be seniors needing more benches or kids needing new playground equipment.
Sean?
Well, seniors also want some more pickleball courts. I heard that a lot. That's pretty consistent with what I heard too. On top of that, it's the community safety concerns. People are tired of having somebody trying to get in their home at 2 o'clock in the morning and seeing that on their home security camera, or coming home and having their garage or shed broken into and all their power tools stolen, or even the calls. And sadly, I had a couple of these stories shared with me of an assault or an intimate partner violent situation where the 911 call hadn't been responded to 3 days later. Mm-hmm. It is very, very hard to get citizens to care about the well-being of others when they don't feel safe and secure themselves in their own homes. So we have to address that community safety piece. We have to work with our police on that. We have to look at the proper staffing levels so that those 911 calls get responded to in a timely manner, because some of these are really, really serious calls, and waiting hours or days after you've been the victim of an assault, that's not okay. We have to do a better job of that. And then, yeah, it's the clean up the downtown, help the homeless, and build some housing so that people can afford to get into housing again. So those were really the key ones for me. Although I got to say, I agree with Elizabeth. I heard a lot of people talk about how much, especially because of COVID, they got to enjoy and explore more of our green spaces in the city. And that was a really positive. Of course, East Lyons in Ward 2 was a huge one. But some of the other parks where we've made some improvements, and the desire to continue to see those kind of investments made so that every neighborhood has those kind of green spaces.
Skylar, what did you hear? Anything that hasn't been mentioned already?
Yeah, pretty much consistent with everything mentioned. I guess a couple ones that were an aside. Definitely investment in transit. I had a chat with a gentleman who was taking the bus to school for years and then just couldn't do it anymore and had to buy a car. And I was like, you're literally doing the opposite of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people out of their cars and onto buses. And also people chatting about road safety, but specifically with cyclists and drivers and pedestrians. So lots of different solutions kind of suggested at the door, but people want to see that addressed, because both for congestion, people are sitting in traffic, and some people understand that, you know, the best way to get out of that is to get onto a bike or on a bus or walk. But then a lot of people also just are getting frustrated with, like, you know, sharing space on the road with cyclists or pedestrians and would like to see that separated in some fashion.
Oh, I will say one of the things you'll find out over the next few months, Skylar, is the most consistent complaint any of us get is speeding through neighborhoods.
Yes.
Every ward in the city, every councillor, past and present, will tell you they get complaints about speeding through residential neighborhoods all the time. So that's one that comes up regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was on every street as well. Even like cul-de-sacs and dead-end streets, people would be like, somebody speeds by. And I'm like, what? Like,
where are they going?
Dead-end street? Like, going home? Like,
if that's your neighbor, you two can sort this out yourselves. Yeah.
They clearly got a notification that there was a new Craig Needles podcast to listen to, so they were in a hurry to...
Absolutely.
Yeah, now I do suggest that while you're in the car, if you don't have a device with you, you should be listening to Classic Rock 98.1. that's interesting. And I think that there's definitely something to be said for the road safety component. I think that's a big conversation. I know that's a conversation that you had a pretty impassioned plea about it at City Hall not long ago, Sean. That's something that is it going to be on the list? I don't know if it's necessarily the top of the list. For me, the top of the list thing has to be the homelessness issue. But, and this is the difficult part, so much of that is, we talk about how important municipal government is. So much of that is on Ottawa and mostly Toronto. That our hands are kind of tied in a lot of that stuff here, right?
How many times have we said on this roundtable or the previous incarnation of the roundtable, Craig, that half the homeless problem in the city would disappear tomorrow if the province just bit the bullet and doubled the ODSP and Ontario Works rates tomorrow? If people could actually afford to rent a place because the social assistance benefits that they were receiving was enough to do that, we would not have the problem we have today. And I will say the feds do have a role to play too, because there are a lot more seniors who are moving into precarious housing situations because their CPP and OAS is not keeping up with inflation either. So those income supplements are absolutely key to addressing this problem. Yes, the closure of the psychiatric hospitals and the loss of those mental health and addiction treatment beds are part of that too, and that is the province for sure. But boy, if they would just double those social assistance rates, a significant portion of the problem would disappear overnight.
Yeah, I did an outreach shift with Safe Space, which is an organization that does street-level outreach. Mm-hmm. And one of the women we chatted with was on ODSP, and she just recently became homeless, like a month or two before we had visited her, because she couldn't afford her apartment anymore. Like, the rent increase, even just the slight rent increase, just put it out of her financial reach, and she was living in a tent in the park, and she didn't want to be there.
Rent goes up, ODSP doesn't. This is what happens.
Boom.
Yep.
Out.
Yeah. And, you know, that same thing plays out with seniors in terms of our property taxes. There are a lot of seniors who can make do because their homes are paid for. But they're on a fixed income. And every time those property taxes go up, that's a little less of that fixed income that they no longer have. So that's something we're going to have to be mindful of in the budget process as well, is we cannot backfill the provincial and federal failings on the property tax base. There are two different sources of taxation, and property taxes are the least fair in the country, I would argue.
It's the worst tax we have. And if someone says, hey, we're going to increase income tax, or we're going to increase HST or whatever. Like, okay, that obviously takes some level of, hey, what's your ability to pay into it? Property tax does not necessarily do that. Elizabeth, those issues that we're talking about there are obviously citywide things. What do you think could happen over the next 4 years? And what do you think council can do if they do not get the increased social assistance that we were just talking about?
I think we're just going to keep seeing the compounding of problems we're already seeing if we don't find a way to address it. Sean brought up everyone's favorite subject being property taxes. Realizing the city's budget chair, one of the most important things I think we're going to do when we set out is that four-year multi-budget. Realize we have lots of new faces at the table. We've all campaigned on some same things, some same different things. It's going to be finding that cohesion of the things we can really come around to right off the bat and support in the budget of, like, where's our priorities? You always want to see what people really care about. You look where we spend the money, and having those conversations. And as Skylar said, knocking off some of those big things we can make improvements with, putting that money aside and proving to Londoners that their new council can work together quickly and efficiently to make the change that we've all heard the doors that we want to see for London.
And you know what? This is something that the mayor-elect mentioned when he did his event and was on television, on the radio, and all sorts of places on Monday night. Is if you look at the people who were elected on Monday night, there would be some disagreement on some issues, of course. But I think there's some pretty widespread agreement that we've got a serious homelessness and poverty issue in the city. We've got to be doing things about climate change. We've got to be looking at housing in the city. Like, there's agreement on what the key issues are. There's no one saying, well, I shouldn't say no one. There are very few, if any, on council saying, hey, climate change isn't a real thing. The question is, what are we doing about that, right? And I think that's going to be the big question, or one of the big questions as we get going here is, where can we find the agreement? And we'll see. I'm optimistic about this group. I think there's a lot of different political voices around this table, obviously, but I think that could be very, very productive. What do you think, Skylar, are the biggest challenges for the next 4 years coming up for you and your council colleagues?
For sure. And I mean, you mentioned one, obviously, that's near and dear to my heart, climate change. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be addressing significantly now. We have until 2030 to make meaningful change on our emissions. And I think the nice part about a lot of environmental solutions is that they also offer social and economic benefit. So, for example, we know that the single largest source of emissions is from cars in our city. Mm-hmm. Because we have created a city that is, you know, very sprawling, and people are dependent on cars because it's the easiest, most convenient way to get to place. But if we start, you know, changing our development patterns, that is building more dense housing, investing in public transit and cycling infrastructure, we're addressing climate change, but we're also addressing housing affordability and people who, you know, being able to walk within 15 minutes to a grocery store or to work or school. That's improving the social fabric of our neighborhood. So I think that, again, to your point, there's a lot of things that we agree on as an incoming council, and it's just figuring out, you know, what's going to get funded in the budget and what's going to get included in the strategic plan so that we can address it.
What do you think are the biggest challenges, Elizabeth?
I thought it was Sean's turn.
Oh, but,
well, I'll
Sean,
tell
if
you
want to
jump
first.
In and yeah. give you a second, hashtag budget boss, though, you already hit
yeah,
on
I already
it.
Spoke to budget boss.
It's going to be the priority settings. Right, that's going to be the biggest challenge. Is there's a lot to do, and we're just not going to be able to do it all. And I think back to the last term of council, and how divisive the debate was about the now dead Bridge to Nowhere, back to the river project. And you know, the second part of that project was the housing along the old South Street Hospital lands. And guess what? We did that piece. But that same and that project got $13 million of investment from the city, which is about the price tag that the Lookout Bridge was supposed to cost. I would much rather put that $13 million into affordable housing and supportive housing than on, you know, a nice to have, but a not need to have. And that's going to be, I think, our challenge, especially in the annual budget update that comes in December, and then building on the four-year multi-budget in the following year, is it's going to be priority setting. And we're all going to have to be willing to give and take and meet in the middle and find some compromises, because we can't do it all. So we're going to have to, as a group, decide on what are the top priorities that we're going to invest in.
Yeah. And I think part of it too is going to be spending the appropriate time preparing for those conversations, people doing their homework before we get to committee or council, and trying to limit as much as we can the conversations that don't matter. I'm thinking back to the last budget process where, my goodness, we must have went on for about an hour about a $50,000 program for eliminating curbside Christmas tree pickup, knowing it would just be picked up in the spring with the first pickup. Like, it was an hour. And I get that we all understand the curbside Christmas tree pickup, but in a $1.2 billion budget, we spent an hour on $50,000 in a Christmas tree pickup. Like, it's, and residents, you know, you still heard, like, it's ridiculous. They're like, stop wasting staff's time. Mm-hmm. Stop wasting our time. Like, there's bigger issues, and just really making sure that we spend our time on those key big issues of where we're trying to go and getting there as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time we heard, it's only $50,000. It's only $100,000. It's only $150,000. It's only $25,000. The thing is, that all adds up. So it's never just $50,000 or $25,000 or $100,000. But to Elizabeth's point, do the homework. And that was a perfect example of a debate that should not have taken an hour. Listen, you've decided where you are. Let's call the vote and move on to the next item up for bid, Alex, please, because we've got to get things moving. And it doesn't help when, you know, and we're human beings. After 8 hours of meeting,
your brain's a little fried.
You don't want to go around in circles on a $50,000 Christmas tree pickup.
I will say this:
being respectful of each other's time.
Get a trusted member of the local media to decide when debates have gone on for too long. I will offer my own personal services
if that's bring a buzzer.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the Oscars playoff music if someone's talking too long. Like,
maybe we could recruit Cheryl to sit in chambers and just say, "Okay, it's time to stop sucking and blowing."
Yeah, there you go. I've always said that it should be like America's Got Talent. There should be three judges, and this is for PPMs only. But it should be like America's Got Talent, where if three people say that you're done, then you're done, you know. That aside, it's going to be an interesting start to the term, and there's going to be a lot to figure out here for sure. And we got budget stuff right away. We've got QP Local 101 needs a contract, as my friend Stephen Holland would like me to remind folks. And not the last time we did that, but two times ago, things got pretty bad. I don't think we're going to be going down that road again this time, but there's stuff coming up for the City of London here that needs to certainly be addressed. Before we go, one last question for you. You've just finished an election where you've all been on the ballot for months, and you've been working and you've been knocking on doors. What have you done the last couple of days to kind of chill out a little bit? How have you, as the kids say, treated yourself? Sean, go ahead.
Well, we're just now at the end of collecting all the signs.
Okay.
And those got to be sorted and put away. That'll be this weekend. I'm going to be treating myself to dinner out on Saturday night, and not cooking and not cleaning up the dishes. And then I am going to catch up on a couple of episodes of Andor that I'm behind on Disney Plus, the Star Wars series that's streaming right now. And I did treat myself. I did go online and purchased a couple of the vintage Kenner Star Wars figures that I'm missing from my collection as a little reward for me for winning the campaign. So then it's right back to it, and right back to the rink too. The other piece I'll treat myself to is we're going away in 2 weeks for a hockey tournament, so I'll enjoy being off at a hotel and having some fun with the kids and enjoying a little bit of time away.
Elizabeth.
Also being a hockey family, we have a tournament in Welland coming up, so hitting that one up with my family. I took some time to have a full shower versus...
I think we're going to the same tournament.
Are you in Welland too? This could be fun. not an official meeting of committee. We do not have quorum.
We're not taking into extra council members. No,
just,
no quorum.
Just going to put that out there. I went and saw Grand Ghosts at Grand Theater. Excellent production. Please go see it. I treated myself to new running shoes the other day, since my campaign ones are out and I can now walk and run or jog for fun versus literature dropping, and just enjoying the time with the family, like an actual dinner ordered and takeout the other night. My mom was in town, and as she'd been wiping down so many of my signs for me, and just actually getting to have a proper family dinner, and looking forward to three meals a day again versus whatever snack you find in your car door or your backpack and eating it as you go.
Skylar, is Rory playing hockey yet or not quite yet?
I do not want him to play hockey. It sounds like way too much work on weekends. I'm like, go soccer. Yeah. So, yeah. No, we. No one told me that you don't get any rest time. So the next day is signs and like the avalanche of emails, social media posts, phone calls, text messages. So for anyone who runs in the future, set aside like 3 days to respond to stuff because it's overwhelming, but very nice. But yeah, no, mostly we've been napping. I've got a 2.5-month-old at home, so we're all catching up on naps, which has been really nice.
That's
and
good.
Then next week we're going to go away to Point Pelee for a couple nights and just hang out, go hiking, chill out.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you just did a whole lot of hard work, and now there's more hard work to come. Congratulations to all of you. Let's wrap up. Let's wrap up the Craig Needles podcast there. We're fresh out of time. But I do want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warrencliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. Skylar, Sean, Elizabeth, thank you all so much for coming and talking to us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
More of the Craig Needles podcast coming up next week.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.